Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Enterprise Sales Development Podcast, brought to you by Cyence Technologies. We interview outbound leaders at fast-growth businesses to learn their secrets and bring you actionable insights. Thanks for joining us this week.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Enterprise Sales Development. I'm your host, Eric Quantstrom, the CMO at Cyence. Today's episode is a fun one, especially if you want to geek out and go deep, deep into LinkedIn, because we have the founder of Engage AI, also the founder of DDA Labs, Jason Tan. And Jason is also happens to be a top voice on LinkedIn. We even get into how LinkedIn, or why that's so shrouded in mystery, like what it takes to become a top voice on LinkedIn. But we dissect especially LinkedIn comments and how we can use it, you can use it as a strategy in your prospecting and your sales development, how to do it well, what to avoid. Some of the key tips that Jason shares. In fact, for me, it was like a breath of social selling, like fresh air. And here we are in 2024. Social selling is a topic that has been around for quite a while, and some of the techniques that you can use on LinkedIn, some that are effective, some that frankly are timeless, we go over. So without further ado, let's get to this episode. Here is Jason Tan. And we're back with Jason Tan. And Jason, you've been a recognized top voice on LinkedIn. You're the founder of Engage AI, which is frankly a LinkedIn kind of automation tool. You're the founder of DDA Labs. You've frankly been all over this platform that so many of us leverage for what we do in sales development. It's so important as a channel. Tell me a little bit about how you've come to dominate LinkedIn.
I can't say that I am dominating LinkedIn, but I feel super proud and super lucky, equally humble that they give me this top voice. But I suppose it's coming out of the necessity in running my own consulting business in providing data and AI services to the enterprises and government agency here in Australia. Like many other people who start their career in the corporate, we were doing this data. Like for me, I was doing data, I was doing AI for the insurance company, done it for a very long time, and I was like, I think I'm really good at this, and I wanted to start my own company. And as I started my own company, I only realized that, holy smoke, starting a business requires more than technical skill of being good at what you are doing, but you have to figure out how to promote, you have to figure out how to do sales. And it was a bit of shock for me. I mean, I said I was smart, I said I was good, but I should have figured that out. But you know what? Then I realized, oh no, okay, I have to do all those things. Especially initially, I have referral from the existing network, but I knew that sooner or later, I will run out my referral from my existing network. So I start trying different techniques, different ways of trying to build the brand awareness for my consulting company, all the different things. And LinkedIn was one of them, that one of the channel that I also was doing, partly also because the social media is easier. You don't have to go out all the time. In terms of the expenses, it's a lot more under the control. And I was like forcing myself to do it. Like I start posting, I start commenting. And it was like how it gets started. And initially, Eric, I must tell you this. I think this is probably something that a lot of the technical people can relate to it, is that when I first started on LinkedIn, I was horrified of it. Like every time I prepare a content, I was like, what if people don't like it? What if I make fool of myself?
Yeah.
What if it doesn't resonate with anyone? And in fact, even to the commenting, right, is that what if I make fool of myself and all my colleagues, all my network is going to see it? So it took me a really long time to get over it. But over the years, I finally get over it to the extent that I am just so comfortable. I just got to do what I got to do. Like what we all in the SMB business world doing, we got to do what we got to do to bring in the business put the food on the table for our family, and then continue to drive the business, pay the employee of those who believe in us. That is how I kept doing so much on LinkedIn, because I have using it as a channel to drive business for my consulting business. Yeah.
Nice. You used the word necessity earlier to describe LinkedIn. And what's funny, I have this kind of pet theory that LinkedIn is actually the biggest monopoly that we have in the world today. If you take monopoly in the dictionary definition of having no relevant substitute, because there is no substitute for professional identity that I'm aware of that has nearly the reach, power, scope, monthly active users for professional identity anywhere in the world besides them. Right.
Like, I think that is one, like Sing.com. I think they are big in Germany. But again, like you say, in terms of the world, no, that's they are the monopoly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so along those lines, we can think of it really that a great majority of industries, not everyone, but a great majority of industries, that's where prospects frankly live all day, every day. And so you know, if I think about it in fishing analogies, fishing with spears, especially from a prospecting perspective, LinkedIn arguably is one of the best well-suited channels for starting new sales conversations, starting new business relationships, isn't it?
Exactly. And there is no any other channel or any other tool that tell you so much of the prospect itself. Like, where have they worked before? What is their current role? What sort of, if they do a bit of content, what exactly thing that do they resonate with them, that they are building the personal brand for themselves, and all their entire work history, including some of the common contact that you may have. Where on earth could you find so much information at your fingertip to help you to start conversation, to help you build relationship? That is literally the best tool.
Not only is it the best, it's the best tool, but I would also argue, and tell me if you agree with this, it's also probably the most misused.
Yes, I do. And one of the things that most misused about that is the fully automation. I must admit, I did use it many years ago. And I think I used it for a while, and then I no longer use it. So the automation tool that I refer to, and that is actually one thing that I just want to highlight. I don't consider Engage AI as an automation tool, but we'll talk about that later. But automation, I think the most misused is that there are so many products out there where people are using it to automatically connect with you and then to automatically visit your profile, endorse you, including sending the drip messaging to you. It's for those who are not familiar with, it's a similar, like they enroll you into a marketing campaign in the email, and then they just automatically send you messages in the LinkedIn inbox. I feel like that is really misused, partly because I just don't think that it will work in the B2B industry. Agree with me or disagree with me, Eric, I would love to hear your view. But why I think that it will not work is because we are in the B2B industry. We are selling product or services which cost thousands of dollars, if not 10, if not 100 or millions of dollars. We're not selling sneakers here. Nobody in their right mind would say, I just see the messages from the drip messages, the template messages from Jason. You know what? Take my $20,000 and give me your consulting services. It doesn't work that way, right? Because by the time people are ready to give you that $20,000, they have to know you, that they can trust you. They know you can deliver. And all of those things can only establish by talking to each other, by finding a way to solder your expertise, your trustworthiness to them, right? And I can't see how it would work in the automated messages. You know what are the most funny? For me, I find that the most funny automated messages is, hey, Jason, or maybe, hey, Eric, so great to connect with you. I like what you are doing at Cyan, because a lot of those can be entirely automated. Here is what we do. If you like it, book a time on my calendar and I would love to chat. Why I don't think it will work, Eric, in my view, is that I'm trying to sell you $20,000 consulting business, and yet I want you to take the effort to book a time on my calendar. It makes no sense, especially in the very still cold outreaching phases.
Yeah, I think that my view on things is that there's probably a line. There's some things that probably could or should be automated. Maybe profile views is one of them. Yeah. Relatively harmless, but automated messaging, I think that the big give, or the give up, if you will, and I say this from more the prospect being a prospect on the buy side than as CMO of science. At any rate, I feel like there's a lot of prospects out there, and I'm not alone in this view, that can see an automated message coming from a mile out.
And yeah, exactly.
And that insincerity is not like a value judgment that we place on the connection that we just earned or the email we just received, but rather subconsciously that no and trust denominator that is part of every equation.
Yep.
It's that much harder to overcome.
Exactly. And especially when we are going to partake of tens of thousands of dollars, that no like and trust relationship has to be established well in place in order to make this sort of transaction to be able to happen. And the key is no like and trust. Automated messages is just not going to deliver or to enable the no like and trust relationship.
Yeah. So let's move down the path of thinking through some of the best practices that we also probably have a little bit of a leverage point here, where efficiency does matter. There's not an unlimited amount of hours in the day. And if we are prospecting, we probably don't want to just spend all of our time on one person and one message per day.
Exactly.
So help me understand the happy medium and the tools usage and some of the ways that we can be thinking about LinkedIn, perhaps differently than we're thinking of it today, forged by a lot of the lessons you've learned hard won.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So really, I absolutely agree with you. What is that line between the efficiency / automation versus the personalization, but also building that know, like, and trust relationship? That is really the line that we have to draw there. And then that is where product and tools that were coming into the picture, there are all the various tools out there that is available. So the key is about finding the product out there that helps you to get efficient, but then doesn't necessarily cross the line of that fully automated being seen as a spam messenger. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it helps you to do the personalization and then help you to win over your prospect, to win over your client. And there are tools out there that helps you to do that. So that is really number one. And number two, that is what I would say the best practices that I would highly encourage. And especially if you can't pandem yourself in that of it, is that put yourself in the position, like you say, as a buyer, putting ourselves as a buyer, we are getting ton of those messages. So just think about how are the feels when they are getting the similar messages from us. So that is really, I would say, the number one. The second part of it, I would say, is also the best practices, but it's probably the most underutilized technique or underutilized strategy, is commenting for attention. A lot of people are using LinkedIn in a way that automated messages, all of those things, but commenting for attention is a proven strategy that we all have used on different various social media channels, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. What that basically means is that when the target prospect or the target client, they make a content, we want to be there to engage with them.
Yeah.
we want to be there to make a comment, whether we agree, we want to support, or we want to add our point, whichever that is. And that is really one of the best ways to get noticed. Mm-hmm. And I tell you why it is even easier to do it on LinkedIn. Because, like it or not, I think the content that produced on LinkedIn sometimes is a bit dry, is a bit more professional, is a bit more educational. And rather than a cooking video or a comedy video, for that reason, the engagement on LinkedIn very often is very low.
Yeah.
Unless you are probably the CEO of the Bank of America, you are maybe Musk, but Elon Musk is not on LinkedIn. Unless you are those super high profile people, often your target prospect, like the senior VP, or even the CEO of the SMB, very often when they post on social, the engagement that they have got is very low. And what that equally means is that it creates opportunity for you, because your messages is not going to lose out or get lost in the flood of other comments. Your comment, your engagement will get seen by your target audience.
Mm-hmm.
And your target prospect, and equally your target audience. We'll come back to that in a second. And when you are doing it again and again, what will you think about your target prospect? Who is this Jason Tan that every time when I post, he is always there to engage? Number one, thank God there are people engaged. There is no people on earth posting content on social doesn't want engagement. Isn't it right? It's part of the human nature. Sure. And when people give us all those sort of attention again and again, naturally is in our curiosity to find out who this person is. We'll have a look at his profile. Perhaps we also start engaging with them in the content itself. And when that sort of thing happens, that is the magic moment that you break the ice. You have got their attention, and then connect with them. Connect with them if you haven't, or sending them messages to continue the conversation. Not just saying that, okay, Eric, thank you for engaging on my content. Here's my calendar link. Book a time so I can sell you $30,000 services. But it's, hey, Eric, thank you so much for engaging. Sorry, thank you so much for all those content. I really love the things that you guys are doing in science, especially like helping the salespeople and the senior sales executive to drive revenue. And I feel like the philosophy we are doing, I really love it. So you see the transition of the conversation in the public space into a private space is just so much more natural.
Yes.
And then as you continue that conversation, all the things and the strategy that you do in prospecting as you are trying to understand them, they will naturally come into place to help you building that know, like, and trust relationship to understand if I can be of services, if I can provide you a solution to solve some of your problem. So that is what I really think is one of the underutilized strategy. And if I may just share a little bit about what we do at Engage AI in helping that strategy, is that making comment though, a good comment, it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes energy. You don't want just to give because nobody is going to remember that you give a like. In fact, people probably don't even look at who give, especially if there are 70 or 100 of them, right? But equally, you don't want necessarily to say thank you for sharing or great post, great insight. You don't want to say those generic. You want to have something a little bit more unique. And that is where Engage AI coming into the picture, where we use generative AI to help you drafting a comment that is relevant to the content itself in the context, but also equally the tone that you want. And then you always have the opportunity, which is the human in the loop, to update messages to your tone, to add your authenticity, and then make the post. So that is really where we see the personalization. At the same time, using product or tool out there to help the efficiency.
What I really like most about that is you're also starting with the prospect and their world, something they've written, something they are putting out into the public sphere. And it's funny, like Dale Carnegie said this 88 years ago in How to Win Friends and Influence People, but he said, to be interesting, be interested.
And I know.
It's no less true. Here we are in 2024. Than when he wrote those words in the height or the depths of the Great Depression.
Yeah, I know.
And that's exactly what you're saying, is like taking an interest in somebody else and what they're writing, what they're doing, and maybe even curating your comments, having the right tone, having the right ways to open and build off of that in either agreement, support, or to offer up a different perspective or make a point. I think that is a great place to start another conversation.
Exactly. And I want to take a different perspective considering the quote that you just brought up, the Dale Carnegie, in that from as an engineer turning into starting on this engineer or me, at least myself, is that decades ago, I was like, I thought that I should be trying to be the smartest person in the room. And then sales will come in. But the reality is, it's not about that. Don't try to be the smartest person in the room. Try to understand the room and then be interested in others. That is what built the opportunity. That is what built the relationship. Yeah. But the engineer of me took me a long time to figure out that algorithm in the human.
I love it. It's so true, though. Like in sales, I had a great piece of sales advice, and I'll not tell the blue version of it, from one of my mentors early in my career. And he basically pulled me aside one time and said, "Hey, Eric, let me give you a little tip." He goes, "Never, ever effing steal your customers' aha moments, because they're theirs. And there's no truth so powerful as that which somebody else comes to." And it was like sales gold, if you really think about it, because when a sale is made, it's really in somebody convincing themselves that they need your product, service, offering. Yeah. And it solves a problem, and it creates a condition where it might be a better tomorrow than it is today. And no amount of assertion on behalf of a pushy, oftentimes commission breath salesperson is going to change that fact.
Yes. Yes.
Anyways, that was a good piece of advice that I think really dovetails with exactly what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. But at the same time, I think that is also, if I may share the vision of why I started this tool as well, that is one of the comment, one of the critique that I have quite often is that, why do I need AI to help me to write comment? I get it. Is I think the marketing people equally get that quite a bit, but I think less so on what we do. Is that, why do I need AI? Are we going to read all the AI articles? I agree, but it's, again, it's about that personalization, drawing the line of the personalization and also the efficiency. But equally though, is that, like how I was talking about early when you asked me like how I got started, is that I think for the people who are outgoing, for the salespeople or the marketing people, a lot of these things is very easy for them. It's very natural for them. It's something that they are very comfortable of doing. I find that a lot of the critique that we are getting is from this group of people. And I totally get it, because for them, it's like, what is it so hard about making a comment? What is it so hard about posting a content? Just do it. But for the other side of the world, the engineer, the introvert, the people with a different personality spectrum, this is different. this is entirely different skill set. Is very challenging for us. And my vision is that I have walked that path before, and I know how challenging it is. As especially when I am doing in a in my second languages or the third languages, it's even harder. So really is my vision is that if I can help more technical people, if I can help more introvert and walk the beaten path and skip some of those wrong paths, that is really what I am hoping to be able to achieve of my group of people.
I love that. That's great. And I think that also places a great emphasis on sales being large part service. I feel like I can help somebody, then I'm already way ahead of the game at whatever it is I'm selling. In fact, I would argue if you don't have that ingredient, you probably shouldn't be selling whatever you're representing.
That is a good point. That is a good point. I don't how to get the LinkedIn top voice. Is a mystery, right? They don't have a clear guideline of telling you how to get it.
Yeah,
so I wonder you? if commenting is part of it. I don't know. Is it just content, or is it also the engagement with people to help building the conversation? I wonder. I wish someone on LinkedIn would tell us.
they never will. It would be like Google giving their secrets for how they rank. but I will say this, I have listened to a number of experts in the field talk about the marketing aspects of like anything that you post to LinkedIn. And there's definitely provable algorithmic kind of weighting placed on number of not only likes, but comments and essentially like throughput in the time windows right after the post is made. And so my understanding of a lot of their work is really that LinkedIn has a main feed, and that's the most valuable real estate in all of LinkedIn. It's where you log into linkedin.com and whatever is curated for you, some with your primary first degree connection network, some that LinkedIn thinks you would be very interested in. The two box is always advertising. Some is where LinkedIn makes its money and gets paid. But ultimately, what the rest of the billion LinkedIn users members see is an algorithmic like extrapolation into here's what's generating the most light, heat, and buzz in your like network or relevant to you. So there's got to be part of that association that would weight out comments probably pretty significantly, I would think.
I think so. And it will be really interesting to find out. I just pick up one really interesting thing, if I may just say. You were saying that LinkedIn user, and then you correct yourself, say, no, LinkedIn. I really like that because if I may just say why, is that one of the things that I am avoiding talking about when talking about our product, I also equally try to avoid using the word user. Partly because I feel like the word of user doesn't give a life to those people. Whereas member, that is more life in that, in a way that I see them as a person rather than just a number. Is that how you feel about your product? Is that the reason why you were correcting yourself in changing the word, even though talking about LinkedIn?
I do feel that way about science products, and I try to steer clear of using the word user. In fact, I prefer the word client, which I think is even a higher form of customer. But I think LinkedIn uses the word members because technically they've built their business on top of these members. And that's how the LinkedIn sales team has always referred to their base of folks. And if you ever run afoul of LinkedIn, so if you're violating any of their terms of service, it usually goes against their membership guidelines. And so that's the other reason that I mentioned and used that specific term or auto-corrected myself.
The other thing that I pick up is that the newsfeed. I think that is something that LinkedIn can probably still do a better job with the algorithm or the AI, whatever people want to call it, in curating that newsfeed. And this is really coming from me having speaking to so many of our members, is that the newsfeed is not really curating the right information or the right content for people, because a lot of time, especially if you're in B2B, and also, for example, like our target audience is the people who have been in the business for a few years already. So in other words, they are generating revenue at the start, which means their time is valuable. They want to make sure that the time that is spent on LinkedIn or social media is giving them a return, not just for fun. But then as they are logging to LinkedIn or using the mobile, as they are scrolling, a lot of time they are still not seeing the people that they really care about that could potentially help changing a bigger impact in their businesses. But rather, it's like because of whatever interaction that they have got. And I feel like that is not the right approach. To a certain extent, I feel like that approach in that fit into the algorithm that saw the content on the newsfeed is largely following what the guys at the Meta doing on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter is doing, where it's more at mass and trying to keep you on the platform so that they can make the ads money. But LinkedIn has a subscription business, right? Where, and the reason people are paying that $50 USD per month or thousands of dollars they are in recruiter is because they are targeting certain things that that's why they are paying. So that approach, that philosophy should shift a little bit, where it should show them really the people that they care about rather than because of the interaction, because of the engagement, which is the philosophy of the B2C social media platform. That is how I feel about it.
Yeah,
that is what we have heard from talking to our member. And that is also one of the things that we offer, in a way that if you tell us exactly who you are interested, we will try to show you those people to save your time. And that is what the SMB owner care about. And LinkedIn started the business, especially focusing on the recruiter. Equally, if you speak to the recruiting agent, that's what they care about. They don't care. If they are not getting my business, if I'm not their target audience, they don't care if I am top voice or not.
Right. It definitely is a tough balancing act. And I'm a little bit sympathetic to LinkedIn, the struggling monopoly and all, but I'm a little bit sympathetic because they have so many different businesses that they all want to bring to bear into one. And frankly, for my money, they've gone through so many different iterations. When they were out of the gate and growing as a social network in the early 2000s, I think being a lion was a thing, right? A LinkedIn open networker. They wanted everyone to connect as much as possible. They wanted like these interconnections because frankly, they just wanted more people in the network.
True. Yeah.
And then that evolved into the turn, seemed to me, right after the Great Recession, to be really around, we want to be big media. I remember a lot of times you would read articles by Bill Gates or Richard Branson or famous people writing long form on LinkedIn and have it shoved into your feed.
Yeah.
That's, for better or worse, gone away. And I think now the phase of growth that they're in, skipping over a few, if I may, is more around, again, balancing these disparate needs, right? So recruiting business and the recruiter sales navigator business, advertising sales, all of them can be helped by greater monthly active users. And so like to your point, the monthly active user trigger seems to be mostly on the feed, mostly on the utility of the feed going forward. I'm sure there's plenty of other things, and LinkedIn has the data that they're not releasing on what else is really popular. But I think that's probably the tip of the iceberg as far as what people, if they decide to come to LinkedIn and use idle time or devote their attention to LinkedIn, a lot of it would be if they're feeling value from the feed. So to your point, this is probably something, what is the philosophy? What is the right content? What's the right mix?
Absolutely. We are still on the topic of LinkedIn. I'm super interested to hear your view about where do you see that they see themselves. One of the really interesting things that I feel that LinkedIn is not doing, like any other software company, is that they are not, I feel like they are not building themselves as a platform. I use the word they are not building themselves as a platform in a way that they are not building themselves as a platform where other software company and other people and that can build themselves on top of it.
Yeah.
So if you look at the Facebook, it would be like early day, they built that game platform and then try to get all the game developer to come in, and then they build the business, build and grow the active user on top of it. Obviously they change over the time, but then Apple iOS is a platform business, is a Microsoft Windows is a platform business. But I always feel that LinkedIn is shining away, building themselves as a platform businesses where other businesses, other developers could build themselves on top of it. Do you agree with that?
Do you see that way? I completely agree with that. And I think that, by the way, that's very deliberate. And there's ample evidence to suggest that LinkedIn is not very acquisitive. Outside of their learning acquisitions, I think Lynda was probably the biggest, which I think furthers more of their goals of helping young professionals train and acquire skills, which feeds into recruiting and professional identity, which they already have a monopoly in. But aside from that, like, no companies or relatively few companies are thinking about how can I build on top of LinkedIn, because LinkedIn doesn't let you.
Like, yeah.
I used to be part of a company that used to have access to the LinkedIn API, and that was shut down in 2014, if memory serves. Mm. Boy, oh boy, that API was magical. allowed us to do so much over at Nimble when I was a CRM, social CRM. But I think LinkedIn took a hard left. That's one of their evolutions of growth, and realized they probably didn't need the help of app developers for any reason whatsoever. So I definitely see a strong sense of not invented here thinking associated with their company, frankly, because they don't need it.
That is a really good point. I guess they, like you say, they frankly, they just don't really need it, especially after the sales to Microsoft at $36 billion. And then in all this year, the valuation, the capitalization of the company is what, $126 billion? As LinkedIn, why do I still need it?
Yeah.
Bill Gates is like, it's just a penny.
Yeah, and I think that the decisions for Microsoft to let LinkedIn remain a standalone and just throw off cash is probably a really good from an overall business perspective. So let's finish strong here. Let's talk about any other kind of like power tips that you think that the audience should really be thinking about, or that you've learned again through trial and error, especially with building Engage AI. What are some of the things you'd like to share?
Absolutely. So here is my tip for people who think about using commenting for attention strategy. Is if you are selling a product that costs 20,000, tens of thousands, which is services, consulting services is a classic example. In my AI data consulting business, is a classic example. You want to comment directly on your target audience. So in my case, I would comment directly on the senior VP, the SVP of the large corporate, and build the relationship directly with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the people who is the where I have the opportunity, or how I have the potential to sell the services, and I need to build that know and trust relationship. How, in on the other hand, if you're selling a product, if you are selling software as a service product like Engage AI, where it costs $20, $30, $60, whatever that number is, that around $100 or less or more, slightly. You, instead of commenting on directly of your target audience, the return of the investment of your time and energy and the effort is going to be low. So this is the twist coming in. Instead of coming in direct on your target audience, think about commenting on the prospect of your target audience.
Hmm.
The reason, so in this particular case, I'll use the, what we do where we eat our own dog food as an example is rather, so our target audience is the SMB owner in the B2B industry who want to sell their product and services to the other businesses or the other large enterprise. So we don't comment on them to get their attention to find out who we are because like I say, the ROI is too low. But the people that they follow, they watch like a hawk. Is the SVP of the enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
All the SMB owner are following, are watching them. So for if you are selling the SaaS product, like we do, use the commenting for attention strategy. You comment on the prospect of your prospect because when you make one comment of your prospect, thousands or hundreds of your prospect are going to see it because LinkedIn is going to sell these their prospect on their newsfeed.
Interesting. Daisy chaining your way through to awareness in an attention economy.
That is correct. That is correct. So it's about ROI and the time and the effort and how do you get the optimal value of it. So again, if you are selling a consulting a services that costs tens of thousands of dollars, comment direct on it, directly on them because that is how you build the know and like and trust relationship. But if you are selling a SaaS product that is somewhere around $100 more or less, ROI is not going to be on the direct prospect, but rather prospect on prospect because you will be able to build awareness because they are watching your their prospect like a hawk, and that is how you get in front of their eye in a maximum way.
I love it. I love it. That's a great tip to end on. For those listeners that may want to investigate or get to know you better, have further LinkedIn discussions with you, Jason, where should they go?
Go and check me out on LinkedIn. My search for Jason Tan, T-A-N. You'll be able to find me on LinkedIn or otherwise check out our website is engage-ai.co. That would be the best way to find out.
I dig it. This has been a really fun discussion. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Really love all the conversation we have, especially like I really get to hear a lot of your view in terms of the prospecting, but also running a software business as well. I love it.
Welcome. Thanks again.
Thank you.